Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Praise God. Sometimes we get an email or a tweet, or somebody will speak to us personally and tell us that such and such a night, it changed my life. And then they will begin to give their testimony. It was a sermon, it was a song, and an experience. Generally, it's the Word of God, because that's the most powerful thing there is. But I've never been the same again. I've had those moments in my life. And I'm going to give somebody that moment in their life tonight. You might be sitting here, you might be watching, and you can get something where you're watching from. But let me hasten to say there are some things you ain't never going to get until you get yourself in a body of believers surrounded by it, just the way God set it up. And so we're not condemning anybody that is compromised in their immunity system, but somebody, God is saying, it's time for you to not look for an opportunity to be left behind. It's time for you to look for the opportunity to say, I'm going to be strong and faith-filled, and I'm going to get in the house of God. But nevertheless, somebody's life is going to be changed tonight by the Word of God. I put this message together over a process of days, but about 3:30 in the morning, God woke me wide awake. I don't know what's happened, but 3:30 is now God's time to talk to me, and I would prefer He'd do it during the day because it takes about 2 or 3 hours, and it ruins my rest. But that's what He's doing, and so I was up. I didn't have my iPad. I had my phone. I was writing scriptures down that iPhone, and if you'd have come in there, I'd said, hey, I'm not talking to Jake at State Farm. I'm talking to Jesus in Jerusalem, and God has given me something right now. Amen? He ain't wearing khakis. He's wearing a robe of white, and His name is Jesus. I wanted to call this sermon Activating God's Plan for Your Life. But long sermon titles are kind of like some of these church names I see. The Apostolic, Pentecostal, Fire, Baptized, Sanctified, Holiness, Jesus Coming, Firstborn Church. There's some churches I never did bother to go because I got their whole Bible study just out of their name. I didn't need to go. I knew everything they believed. But we need to keep it a little more simple than that. The Bible talks about simplicity as a key. So we need to keep it simple. The KISS philosophy. You remember that? Keep it simple, stupid. I never did like that. I don't like to call myself stupid, but now I like it. Because now I say, keep it simple, Superman. I like that a whole lot better. And so I get what you're saying about your church name, but we kind of got to get it simple. But this is a well-known verse that I'm going to share with you. Charismatics absolutely love it. There's not a charismatic refrigerator that don't have this tacked up on with a magnetic strip on there. Pentecostals love this verse. I know the thoughts, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let me give you another translation. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. One more translation. I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring your prosperity and not disaster, plans to bring about the future you hope for. You may be seated. There is an exceeding great plan for every human being that has ever been born on planet Earth. But few be there that find it. That's not a verse. It's a compilation of three verses, but it is true. God's got a plan for every human being, but very few, especially in the dark continents. But even in America, very few ever discover the plan that God has got for them. So this is an amazingly encouraging verse. I love this verse. However, for it to be more than a hallmark moment of inspiration, we need to understand the climate in which Jeremiah made this declaration of faith. You know, we do the body of Christ a great disservice when we call a verse our own and we tell people about it, but we do not ever really apply the ingredients of that verse, and so it doesn't come to fruition. And so somebody says, oh, I guess the Bible doesn't work. If a verse doesn't work, it's because you have not put the ingredients of that into your spirit. We have to look at what was happening in this verse. It was in the Babylonian captivity. that Jeremiah wrote this, awaiting deliverance back to their home country, the Israelites. My text is just a favorite verse, and people love it. It's a great verse to put on your mirror when you're shaving, or putting on your makeup, ladies, or if you're a little soft, men, putting on your makeup, whatever. It's a great verse to put on your mirror. But for it to become a reality, we as all Scripture must put it in context. Really, what's happening here? All promises in the Bible have keys or activators, triggers, something that makes them come alive and really work in your life rather than being philosophical or entertaining or poetic. It literally becomes a factor in your life. In order for that to happen, there has to be a key, something that activates it, a trigger. To expect them to come to pass in our lives without that activation key is to set up ourselves for great disappointment. There's a lot of folks that have found a verse in the Bible and said, that's what I want. But then they never followed through on all the elements that it contained. In a month or 6 months or 6 years, they were greatly disappointed and said that dream never came to pass. Not because God is not a dream maker. It's because we're not dream takers. God will provide, but we have to be able to receive. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Is there a more encouraging verse in the Bible? I think not. This verse is actually a response, not first initiated by Jeremiah, but a response of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was responding to another prophet by the name of Hananiah. Hananiah was a false prophet. Hananiah had given a verse that preceded that. Here's the context, and it's very important that you understand this. Here's the context. The Israelites were in exile. They didn't want to be there. They were in Babylonian. They were in Babylon. They didn't want to be there. They were in Babylonian captivity. It was a punishment from God as a result of their disobedience, their sin, and their idolatry. And so God allowed them to be captured. The prophet Jeremiah hears that there is a new prophet in town, and he's got a wonderful message. He's got a church, and it is growing. People absolutely love what he is saying because what he is saying is what they want. His name is Hananiah, and he boldly proclaims, God is going to set us free in 2 years from the time we were here. 2 years from now, we're going to be gone out of Babylon. Spoiler alert, it never happened. They weren't gone in 2 years. Jeremiah calls out Hananiah's lie and says, that's not what God is saying at all. So he states in 29:11 in Jeremiah, yeah, God does have a good plan for the Israelites. It's a plan that will give them hope. It's a plan of prosperity and prospering in the future. It sounds good. It's right. The thing is, before he shares this promise, he gives them this directive. Seek the peace. This is verse 7. Seek the peace, God said to Israel, and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. All of this is going to happen, but not like he said, not because you're delivered in 2 years. You ain't going nowhere. Why does God demand being planted? Because, friend, God never deals selfishly with one person. When you are planted, you have blessing flowing out of you, and it blesses everything around you. And so God said this blessing and prosperity that Jeremiah is laying on you right now is going to happen, but it's only going to happen if it is contingent upon what's God is going to do in Babylon. You can change your atmosphere. It's called reciprocal prosperity in my vocabulary. God said you're going to prosper, but you're also going to cause the place where you are to prosper. That's the reason why people come in here and get their blessing and think they're doing us a favor for two or three nights, do not contribute one thing, and they are deceiving themselves. Because you're not going to get something by visiting the best church in town occasionally and finding out what celebrity, Christian celebrity is there and hearing him sing or preach and just floating around. It's totally opposed to what God teaches in his word. It's simply not going to happen. You're deceiving yourself. When I was a young boy, my brothers and sisters was older, and they were gone, and we lived on a farm. I was alone a lot. I fished by myself. I played basketball myself. When I got older, I even played golf by myself. I'd play two balls. Oh, I was so excited. I was so good. I never lost a game. I had no competition. And there are so many people that think they're being blessed, but the truth is they're playing checkers with theirself. You can't win. You just can't win. And so when you float around from place to place and say, oh, that blessed me. I'm going to take that home, and it's going to cause me to prosper. You are deceiving yourself. And that's what God is saying through Jeremiah. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, what a great president he looks like now compared to what we're dealing with. What an amazing man, not as a person, but as a president. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? He'd be laughed off the stage of any debate platform today. Everybody says, all I want is $600. That's all I'm concerned about. Please make it $2,000. That's all I care about. That's the spirit of America, and it will destroy America. It will destroy a church when people just come in and say, I'm going to see if they can bless me. If they can't, I'll go somewhere else. They have no understanding of what it is to be planted. So this is not at all what Israel wanted to hear. You're not leaving. In fact, you're not leaving in 2 years. You're going to be here 70 years. Is it just coincident that 70 years is the lifespan of a man that God guarantees? God said, you're going to prosper and you're going to be blessed if you'll plant yourself for a lifetime. Very few people do that. Friend, when I started preaching, and particularly when I started pastoring, I did with an army of guys and a few girls just my age. I couldn't find three or four of them today that are still in the ministry, and certainly not anybody that's built a church of any real emphasis. Why? Not because that I was more talented than they were. They just couldn't plant themselves. Pastor Becky, and I think I've mentioned this before, Pastor Becky's music is amazing, an amazing singer, an amazing talent. And way back many years ago in Dallas, Texas, on the Christian station, in the top five songs in Christian radio in Dallas, Texas, three of them belonged to Becky Fender. We went to an arena that seated 10,000, and with no warm-up group, she walked out there. It was sold out at 10,000 people. Becky and I came from that arena and made a decision, and that was whether I was going to be a pastor or I was going to be a talent manager, whether she was going to be a singer or she was going to be a handmaid of the Lord. And we made our decision that we were going to turn down all of those invitations if they interfered with Sunday and the church that God had called us to build. We made a tremendous decision because I don't know whether you know it or not, old preachers and old singers are not in demand as much as young preachers and young singers. So praise God, we made the decision because here we are. We were young, now we're old, we're not begging bread, and we got all you people taking care of us. Praise God. What a great decision, Becky. I'm glad we made that decision. It didn't seem like the right one at the time, but we knew that God had called us to San Antonio and planted us here. They wanted to be told that they were going home, but they weren't going home. They were told instead, you're going to be suffering for a little while, but God's got a plan for you to stay right here in Babylon, and I'm going to bless you, and you're going to help this nation to prosper that has enslaved you. And then came the biggest blow of all. In verse 10, God said he would fulfill them after 70 years. 70 years, you're going to be planted right here. The essence of the false prophecy of Hananiah is that God will deliver Israel out of their Babylonian captivity in 2 years, and thus they will be greatly prosperous when they leave Babylon. That was the false prophecy. The true prophecy was Israel ain't going nowhere. You're going to be here 70 years, but you're going to plant yourself, and you're going to be blessed, and you are going to become an example of the Jehovah God in the face of all the idolatry that's in Babylon. Sound familiar? 1 year of COVID, and all of a sudden, Jesus has got to rapture us. We can't stand it no more. We can't run a fever. We can't lose a few loved ones. We just got to get out of here. Friend, the Bible said, Jesus said, yeah, that's the way it is, but the end is not yet. Friend, we've got something to do, and that is to cause revival to come to a nation. Jeremiah rebukes the false prophecy with a true prophecy. For the Lord, for I know the Lord, I have the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Everybody in this building can take a hold of that promise and own it if they say, I will plant myself in the place that God tells me. The false prophecies that are in this nation and on Facebook are unbelievable. The false prophecy is, if you, by the parking lot prophet, if you will send me $1,000, he says that on television, says it on social media, if you send me $1,000, you're going to be healed immediately, or you're going to become an instant overnight millionaire. And you hear that and you listen to that, and then it becomes mine and Pastor Brandon's job to rebuke the false prophecy just as Jeremiah did to Hananiah. And pray to God that we can keep you planted, that you may receive the true prophecy of the fruitfulness that God has said we can have. Jeremiah is being used of God to say, we're not leaving, not yet. Here's God's plan for you. Hananiah says you have to move to a moved place or you're not going to be prosperous. This is probably the most used false prophecy that Satan sends through his false prophets to steal God's plan from believers in all the land. That is, God wants you to move. God wants you to move. It's Satan's most effective weapon against people is to uproot them. When you're uprooted, I don't care why this situation is, even if it's a job that transfers you to Pennsylvania, when you are uprooted spiritually as well as physically, will be the most fruitless and vulnerable times of your life. If the devil is going to rob from you, it will be while the process is taking place, while you are uprooted. And so today, people just not rooted. That's the reason why they've been married 5 times. They weren't rooted in that marriage. That's the reason why they change jobs every 6 months, is they're not rooted. The Bible said in Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end time. Men shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We're living in that time where people are unsettled. They're just not rooted. In the end time, people will not plant themselves, but run to and fro, always on the move. A friend of mine, he talks about pastoring his church, and he just wants to be a better pastor. Well, he misses about 3 Sundays a month, so he's not going to be a better pastor. He's got to go all over the world. He's got kin folks everywhere. I've got kin folks I wouldn't recognize. They sat down on that front seat. I just hadn't seen them because I know Tammy and I recognize her face. Praise God. Oh, I know Sister Inman. I know these. This is what God called me to do. God did not call me to family reunions in California. You'll just have to reunion without me, folks, because I'm planted in a place to a higher calling. I'm in the Father's business, and what I'm doing is most important. The richest man, not the richest man, the 8th richest man in the world. You know who that is? He was the 5th richest man a few months ago. Now he's the 8th richest man. And he would be the richest man in the world, but he gave away $25 billion in the last few years. His name is Warren Buffett. He currently lives in the same house that he bought in 1958 for $31,000 on July the 6th. 2018, he's still living in that same house, and he bought it in 58. What are you saying? Here's a man that's one of the richest guys in the world, worth approximately $90 billion, and he's still living in the same house. And that is a trend in his life. He's planted, and he became one of the richest. So it's true not only spiritually, it's true secularly. Jeremiah's corrective prophecy is exactly the opposite of Hananiah's false prophecy. What was Jeremiah's message? Stay planted. Stay planted for 70 years, even a lifetime, even in Babylon, stay planted. So, well, one lady told me that came here to church. She's not here. And am I surprised? She told me when she joined up here, she said, I've been in 36 churches, Pastor. I just started to slap her and say, leave now. How can you be in 36 churches? And friends, she's lived in San Antonio all of her life. Looks like you'd have to move to another town to be in 36 churches. Don't you know she's been a blessing? Don't you know she's just left a residue of blessing everywhere she's been in 36 churches? Friend, I'm going to tell you, she is living not a blessed life. She's living a life where she is destitute and she has no idea why, because she's always looking, always searching. And so he said, stay planted. That's Jeremiah's message to Israel. Blessed is the man that walketh not. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If he is planted, being planted precipitates provision. He said, I just don't have anything. Pastor, can you help me? I don't have any money. That's because you quit 3 jobs in 9 months. It's just hard to accumulate a savings account when you're going through jobs like that. Being planted precipitates provision. If you want provision in your life, you've got to get planted. You say, well, times are tough. Has nothing to do with you. Tough times have nothing to do with planted people. He said he'll be like a tree planted by the water. It doesn't matter what's happening out here in the desert because he's planted by the water. And so you say, the economy's bad, COVID's bad, we got a new president, he's anti-business, I think the economy's going to crash. Has nothing to do with you. If you plant yourself, provision will come. The famine is in the land, and God speaks to his man and said, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And that is the essence of this whole story, feed thee there. Those ravens will not feed you anywhere else but the place where God sent you and planted you. And you're kidding yourself that you think that God has got a jack-in-the-box on every corner for you, a Jesus-in-the-box where you can just drive up and get it to go. No, that's not God's plan. God's plan is that everybody plant themselves. Why? Because God wants you to bless Babylon. God wants Babylon to have a shot at it. You say, well, Babylonians were idolaters. Just because somebody is an idolater, a sinner, a drunkard, a fornicator, a liar, a thief, you gave up on them. But God said, I haven't quite given up on them. I'm going to plant you right beside them, and you're going to flourish. And perhaps the fruit of your flourishment is going to provide the shade, is going to provide the fruit of their salvation. And so he said, I'm sorry, but you can't leave Babylon because they're created in my image, as idolaters as they are. I'm going to plant you there, and oh, you're going to prosper if you make Babylon prosper. And so God said, I'm going to show this world. I'm going to show the Syrians and the Israelites and the Philistines. I'm going to show them, Elijah, that I am God all by myself. But in order to do that, I've got to sustain you. I've got to provide for you. There has to be a provision for you. And so I've got a plan. And that is to go to the brook Cherith and stay there until I tell you it's time to move. And he said, the ravens will feed you there. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. He drank of the brook. Cherith, what does that mean? It means a place where nobody goes. It means a place where nobody even considers or investigates. Friend, if you're going to be planted, you're going to be a rare commodity in this generation. You're going to see them go by you, ooh, ooh, ooh. And there you are planted. But after a while, there's fruit on your limbs that they will never know. Cherith, a place nobody ever considers or investigates. It has another meaning. Cherith, a separation or cut off, a place of isolation, a place where you are isolated and planted to be blessed. All of that is in one word. Friend, God will plant you and let everybody else move around you. And when the smoke clears, they're gone, and I don't even remember their name. But there I am, blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Nowhere but there. Nowhere. God knows where you're supposed to be. And if you ain't there, you're on your own. Because God has given you an assignment in life. And he said, I will cause the ravens to feed you there. The ravens shall feed you, not the doves. Doves were one thing. But ravens, look at, study ravens in the 11th chapter of the book of Leviticus. There's a curse on the ravens. They are unclean, despicable, the Bible calls them. They're predatory birds that feed on the dead and the decaying. They're not the olive branch carrying dove that leaves Noah's ark to come back and say everything's fine now. They're not the dove that was Jesus' baptism saying, this is my son. No, these are the ravens, the scavengers. And so the unclean bird of Golgotha, they say that they were there prevalent at Golgotha's hill. And when the people moved around, they fluttered away. But in the nighttime, in the evening, after the crucifixions, because Golgotha was not a place where Christ alone was crucified, two others crucified with him, but before that, hundreds had been crucified. It was the prison chamber. It was the death sentence of that day. And it was a terrible death. With cats of nine tails, they would rip their flesh and the blood would flow. Little pieces of flesh would fall out on the ground and the blood would flow out. And then the people would leave and here would come the ravens and they would suck the blood out of that dirt and they would eat those pieces of flesh. That's what a raven was. The nastiest thing that you can possibly think. And God said, that's what I'm going to use to bless you. They're going to feed you every morning. What does that say to you? What does that say to you? It tells me that in the nastiest world, in the midst of a pandemic, no matter what happens in this world, God is going to take the nastiest things. And can you imagine God changing the appetite of that bird? Because that bird's appetite was to eat any flesh, even how decayed it was. But it would carry that flesh in pristine condition without contaminating or digesting it all and put it right in Elijah's hand. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be some nasty things happen to you, but if you are planted, it just brings a new revelation of that verse. What the devil means for evil, the Lord is going to turn to good. You remember Samson? You remember Samson? Samson slew a lion. And what is the lion symbolic of? Peter said he's the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But we find that when Samson slew the lion and he wanted to show off to his parents, he took him back to that lion, and out of the eater comes sweet, and he gave the riddle to the Philistines, and they couldn't figure it out. And people still can't figure it out today that what means death and bankruptcy and hurt to the heathens that are on the move is going to mean sweet and honey to you, because out of the carcass of the devil, out of the carcass of the lion, God is going to bless you. Out of the eater come forth meat, and out of the strong cometh forth sweetness. They couldn't figure it out, and people still can't figure it out. I don't know why he's so blessed. It's because I'm planted. You think I'm something? You ought to see my roots. They go so deep. How deep? 46 years of roots. That's what's coming up in my life, praise God. And so it might be a little dry on the surface, but it ain't dry where my roots are. There's nutrients down there that have never been used, and praise God, in the midst of pandemics, in the midst of anything, I'm going to be blessed, 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 because I ain't going nowhere. The Lord is my tower of strength. The Lord is my hope. A table in the presence of enemies. He didn't say, I'm going to move you out of your enemies. He said, I'm going to move the table in the presence of your enemies. They're going to be all standing around. A table says stability and longevity. The enemies are not gone. They just don't have a chair or a plate. They just got to watch while God blesses me. Just as Israel had to stay planted. Samson, you remember Samson? He was called of God to be a Nazarite, given a Nazarite vow. And as long as he was planted in that vow, he was blessed. But when he left that vow and cut his hair, which was part of the vow, the blessing lifted. Friend, I am totally sold out to being blessed in my life. And somebody said, oh, I don't serve the Lord for profit. Then I guess you're contradicting Jesus, because Jesus said, what profit is it? Jesus was interested in the profit motive. The Bible tells us in Malachi They mocked the people of God and said, what profit is it to you to be tithers? There is profit in God's house. There is a profit and loss statement, and I just check mine and praise God, I'm winning. I see a lot of other people losing, but I'm winning. And I'm winning not because of me, but in spite of me, because I will not be moved. I am planted. Number three, being planted provides protection. For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you are allowed. One translation said, you to be harmed. Plans to give you hope in a future. There is protection in being planted. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, and for that is unprofitable for you. Somebody needs to watch out for you. You know, you can't really criticize me because it doesn't have the effect you want. Because I take it all wrong. When we was in the old theater building, I walked out. They said somebody wanted to see me, and I walked out of that little restroom that would turn into an office. I said, yes, sir. He said, I come to tell you that God has blessed you. But he said, now you're like Oral Roberts. You're high and lifted up. I said, oh. Like Oral. He said, no, you get it all wrong. I said, the man's built a university. He's called thousands of people to be healed and saved thousands of souls, and you want me to take that as a bad prophecy? He said, there ain't no need of putting a prophecy on you. You don't understand him. No, I don't understand the devil trying to tell me that God is mad at me when I know the Lord is for me. And so, praise God, I want to tell you that the Lord is on my side. And so somebody told me a few years ago, said, man, you guard that pulpit at Living Way, don't you? I said, absolutely, positively. It was meant to be a criticism. I took it as a high praise. When the man called, and he was great and doing great meetings, he said, Pastor Steve, I know about your church. I'd known him forever. He said, Pastor Steve, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, God's given me a gift to raise money. He said, I can come to that church, and he said, I can raise $100,000 cash on Sunday morning. And said, I'll take 50, and you can have 50. I said, no thanks. No thanks. I said, we're not after money. We're after people sowing seeds so they can be blessed. If somebody steals your money, friend, there is no harvest to that. If you sow your seed, there is a harvest. So I protected you, and I protected me and us, because that's not what God wants in that pulpit. There has to be a place of protection. And God wants us to be protected. And he said, if you're planted in a place, I will protect you and I'll put people over you. Generally, you don't need much protection if you don't have much provision. If you ain't got nothing, you don't need a whole lot of protection. If you're not planted, you're kind of on your own. Street people live unmolested in downtown San Antonio and under bridges every night. I wouldn't last 15 minutes underneath that same bridge because I got stuff they want. They ain't got nothing. They have nothing to be desired. But John 10:10 said, there's a thief that wants to steal from me. I've got so much, not materially, but spiritually, and a promise and a place and a position in God. But no weapon formed against me shall prosper. God did not immediately deliver the three Hebrew children out of the furnace. He joined them. You're going to go through some fire. But friend, I'd rather be in the fire furnace with Jesus than I would on Miami Beach on a spring day without him. It's not a, being with Jesus in a furnace is not a problem. God did not immediately deliver Daniel. He left him overnight. Daniel had to stay all night long. And God, just like God could change the appetites of those ravens, he changed the natures of the lions. He cooled the three Hebrew children in a fiery furnace, and he caused the lions to snuggle up against Daniel and keep him warm in the cold night. And the Bible tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar was there all night, sleepless, walking the floor, but not Daniel. He had one lion for a footstool and another one for a pillow, and his eyes were closed because God was with him. God will protect you. God can keep your enemies up all night, walk on the floor while you sleep like a baby. God will protect you from the devil. God will protect you what the Bible calls things. When the Bible talks about things, they're either positive or negative. Things. He's always talking about things. But God will protect you from things. All things will work together. They might have been bad when they started, but now they work good. And God will protect you from evildoers. Number four, being planted produces prosperity. It does produce prosperity. People, you know, it's an old cliche, but a rolling stone gathers no moss. If you want to prosper, you've got to be planted. To become a living testimonial to God's principles. God's not just interested in making you rich in spirit, in things, in money. God is interested in making you rich spiritually and monetarily and things and God's interested in just making you abundant in every area. Why? Remember? He said, if you cause Babylon to prosper, you're going to prosper. God wants to make you rich in all things because you've got a daughter-in-law that ain't never coming to Jesus until she sees the blessing of God on your life. But if your blessing gets big enough, she's going to say, okay, I'll give it a shot. I'm going to come to church, and the Holy Ghost, once she gets in this place, can get a hold of her. God wants to prosper you that you might become a living testimony to God's principles. Your future will exceed your past, he has said, Jeremiah is saying. Men shall give into your bosom, not if they can't track you down. They got to know where you are. It's better to give than receive. Everybody knows that thought. But how do I know? Well, Elijah again, when God moved him from the brook and planted him over to the widow's house, he said, things are changed. And he told the woman what God wanted her to do and said, take a little cake and a little oil and make me a cake. And so the Bible said she did. But this is what the Bible said about Elijah. He got a little cake. One Twinkie is all he got. That's all. But what did she get? She's the giver. She got a barrel full, and the Bible said that the barrel simply would not go empty as long as the famine lasted, and she got a bottle of oil that wouldn't go dry. You know the problem with preachers? Here's the problem with preachers. They just hate me. I preached to 2,000 of them. I explained when they got called to preach, they got demoted. You can believe that was a rowdy crowd when I made that statement. When God calls you to preach and minister, he demotes you. You were sitting at the table, ready to eat, and God said, we're one waiter short, so you don't get to eat tonight, but you do get a wait on the table. I said, prove that. Jesus took a towel and washed their feet. And so I'm going to tell you, I'm blessed from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. But I'm not blessed because I'm a preacher. I'm blessed because I'm a saint of God. And that's what preachers forget. One preacher that raised money, millions, tens of millions of dollars, he said, oh, I don't tithe, Pastor Steve. He said, I've outgrown that. That's for the saints. That is just the epitome of ignorance. And pride. I'm blessed because I'm a tither. I'm a tither because I'm a saint. And I'll tell you the reason why I want to be a saint. I don't want a little cake. I want a barrel full. I want an oil bottle that will not run out. And let me tell you something else. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to be a preacher or an evangelist or a pastor. I'm going to be a saint of the Most High God. Preachers don't understand that the highest calling in the world is not to be an apostle or a pastor or a prophet or evangelist or teacher. The highest calling in the world is to be a saint of Almighty God. And God will plant you there. And that's what God wants to do for every one of us. God's greatest blessing in our life are not a result of being a preacher, but they are being a planted Christian. I'm planted in God's word. I'm planted in God's calling. I'm planted in what God has told me to do. And so I'm blessed coming in and going out every day of my life. I am blessed. I am blessed. I'm blessed when this building is filled. I'm blessed when this building is not filled. I'm blessed on Wednesday. I'm blessed on Sunday because I know exactly what God has called me to do. And I know that no matter what the mayor says, and no matter what my friend Judge Wolf says, and no matter what our governor says, and no matter who's in the White House says, it just don't matter. My blessing is not subject to men. My blessing is subject to the depth of my roots and the planting of my life in the perfect will of God. And I'm here to tell you, somebody right now, you can't check out on your wife. It's not time to quit your job. It's not time to change churches. It's not time to stop doing the right thing. You got to get up in the morning and say, devil, hit me with your best shot. But when your best shot is over and the smoke clears, I'll still be standing because I'm planted and you can't move me. Not height, not depth, not things past, not things. Nothing can move me. I'm planted, praise God. And it is absolutely the key to what God said in Jeremiah 29. He said, I'm going to bless you. And he said, you're going to have a future and no harm is going to come against you because I've got a plan for you. But it starts in being planted in my will. Would you stand on your feet and give God praise tonight in the house of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I saw a young man. We had him preaching in the old building, Pastor Brandon. You know him well. I saw yesterday he was just so proud because he failed in his church. It's about the fourth church he's had in about 7 years. But he's no longer preaching. He's a policeman now. I love policemen. We back the blue. But friend, being a policeman ain't the same thing as being planted in the ministry that God called her to do. So he's traded his Bible for a badge. That ain't a good trade, my friend. Just not a good trade. I don't know what God's called you outside of the church, but I know that God's called many of you to be planted. And if you will plant yourself and do not let things and seasons and circumstance and people, you know, the devil will do everything he can. He'll try to scare you out. He'll try to flatter you out. He'll try to drive you out. He'll try to draw you out. Just anything to uproot you. But if you won't do it, my friend, I'm going to tell you what. The blessing of the Lord is going to overtake you in 2021. And you're going to say, thank God, thank God, thank God I didn't run. Thank God I wasn't uprooted. Look at the fruit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Beck and I have got a lot of fruit. You can't believe how proud I am of Pastor Brandon Fender, Sean Fender, these two grandchildren. That's fruit, my friend, because we were planted. Did you ever feel like leaving? It ministered to me so much. I've said it so many times since you've been here. But when Brother Barnett said, somebody asked him if he felt like quitting, he said, every day, I just don't know how. That ministered to me so much because he is such a success in the kingdom of God and he's 80-some years of age. What he was saying is, every day the wind would come against me. People would come against me. People would leave. People would talk about it. Every day I wanted to say, what's the use? But he said, I never gave up. I was planted. And look what's happened in his life. Every day I wanted to give up and say, there ain't no need doing this. I can make money, all kinds of money. I'm a real estate whiz. I can make millions of dollars in real estate if I would devote my time to do that. But I'm so thankful that I didn't get my real estate license and just devote my time to that. But I said, God's called me to San Antonio to raise up a church. And look what I've got. A son to be proud of, a daughter-in-law, two kids, another son, a whole congregation full of people, and you ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come. The blessing of the Lord is going to overtake us. We're going to cause San Antonio to prosper. And because of that, praise God, God has a plan for us that simply can't fail. Can you give the Lord a big shout? If you're in this room right now, here's what I'm asking you for. I don't know that I've ever done this before, but I'm asking you right now, if you will just make the declaration and say, God, I'm planted at Living Way. I'm asking you not to come to this altar to get saved, not to get baptized or get the Holy Ghost. You might need to do that, and if you do, we'll help you. But if you'll make that commitment tonight and say, hell cannot uproot me. I'm planted at Living Way Church, and we're getting ready to shake this city. I want everybody somebody that will plant themselves to come to this altar right now and lift both hands and make that vow, not to Steve Fender or Pastor Brandon Fender, but make that vow to God. God, you brought me here and you planted me here and I ain't going nowhere, so you might as well unfurl your plan, because I am going to receive what you have done me to do. If you'll make that vow today, I want you to come down to this altar and lift both hands and begin to give God that commitment and make that vow in the name of Jesus. Pastor Becky, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Shikorama halalakasakala.
I know the plans I have for you. I know just what you're going through.
Hallelujah.
When you can't see what tomorrow holds and yesterday is through, remember I know the plans I have for you. I'll give you hope for tomorrow, joy for your sorrow, strength for everything you go through. I'll give you hope for tomorrow, joy for your sorrow, strength for everything you go through. I'll give you hope for tomorrow, joy for your sorrow, strength for everything you go through. 'Cause I know
in 45 years past, I have literally pastored thousands, tens of thousands of people, perhaps baptized them by the thousands. And they still reach out to me on a constant basis. So many of them, they're not here. And 95% of them reach out to me are still in trouble. Their kids are on drugs. Their girls are having babies out of wedlock. Their finances are a mess. They're divorced and they've got new husbands and new wives. And they still reach out and say, Pastor, I love you. I'm just not quite sure what went wrong. And they still don't get it. They don't understand the principle of God, which says you have to be planted or you're on your own. I cannot have a plan in your life for the unplanted. And they just don't get it. And it breaks a pastor's heart to see them suffering. And some of them have suffered for a lifetime now. And you say, man, they could have been so great. They could have been so great in God's kingdom. They could have blessed Babylon. And perhaps just as great, they could have had a life that was a perfect planned out affair that God had for them. But they just never, ever got that plan. And they just hopped around here and there. And I talked to so many people. Ever have it to do all over.